Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of For You From Eve. We are back with another guest episode. This is a long-awaited guest episode. I've actually gotten DMs about this collaboration, and I've heard of 8020, the podcast. If you're listening, I'm sure you've heard of it too. And I've seen Lily all over my social media. Anytime you guys post your favorite podcast, me and hers are always tied in together. So I was like, this collaboration has to happen. I'm very excited to have Lily on today to speak to you guys all about just navigating your 20s, becoming closer to God, what it's like in your 20s with friendship, relationships, and also talking a lot about her business and her podcast, because I know a lot of you are very interested in also hosting your own shows. So Lily, would you like to do a little introduction on who you are and where you're from?
Yeah, thanks, Olivia, so much for having me. I agree that like literally anytime I get a DM with a guest request, it's always you. So I'm super pumped to be here. I'm so excited.
We're making the people happy today.
No, literally, they're going to be so excited. But yeah, my name's Lily. I am from Maryland. I am a podcast host. Most recently, I'm an author, which is really exciting. And I just kind of dive into my life. I'm super vulnerable on the mic. I'm kind of an open book, no pun intended, since I'm now an author. But I just talk about navigating your 20s, and my podcast is really just kind of like on the phone with a friend. It's very similar to your podcast, Olivia. So I'm just pumped that we get to collab today.
Me too. And yeah, like you said, being on the phone with a friend, I feel like is the best way to host a podcast nowadays. It's just so organic, and it really does just feel like you're getting advice from best friends. So I love how you also do that. Let's take it back to when you started your show. When did you start it? Why did you start it? And what was kind of the inspiration behind your conversation, your topics?
So I started 8020 in the fall of 2020. So I was doing online school at the time, living at home, like most of us probably were. And I was like, you know what? I'm doing all these vlogs on YouTube, but I really feel like people are missing who I really am. And so I started as a vlogger, and I just kind of like fizzled that out because I didn't think that, you know, 20 minutes of content on YouTube really was a good depiction of who I am as a person. And I also feel like the YouTube crowd was just kind of judgmental. Did you ever vlog on YouTube?
I tried.
Okay.
Okay. I think we've all tried.
Yes. No, we've all definitely tried. That's for sure. Like I always like wanted to be like, you know, like a true vlogger, like Bethany Moda.
Bethany Moda days, where you're like, we all need to do that.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Like DIYs, fashion videos, but that was never really me. So I would just do like day in my life, so like day in college. And I grew my channel to about 50,000 subscribers, which was really cool. But then I just was like, one day I was like, I'm so done with this. And it was kind of at the same time that I was starting my podcast. And so I was in a health coaching training program at the time, and I wanted a place to talk about nutrition and exercise because those were two things that I was really passionate about. And the ratio 80-20 comes from, you know, maybe it's 80% nutrition, 20% exercise. Mm-hmm. Obviously now you can apply that to so many different areas. And the show has really developed more into a self-improvement as a holistic approach kind of show rather than just exercise and nutrition. And I've kind of strayed away from that, which is, in my opinion, better because it's more holistic. So that's kind of where 8020 came from. And yeah, I think that kind of answers your question.
Yeah. Did you find it to be a struggle? Because I know when I started my show, talking to the mic was so uncomfortable and weird. Do you feel like you kind of had that in the beginning too?
I feel like I was kind of used to it to some degree because I did vlog. I started my YouTube channel when I was 17 and I vlogged until I was about 21. So I had a little bit of crossover with the podcast and I felt really natural behind a camera, and then that kind of translated to the mic. But I do think that editing just your voice is such a weird experience.
It is.
And I get tired of hearing myself. Do you get tired of hearing yourself?
So tired. And when I mess up multiple times, I'm like, oh, damn it, Olivia. Like, can you just get it right the first time? Like, I'm like, now I have to do more editing.
No, literally. And I'll go through and I'll have to tell myself, okay, you're going to edit to the 20 minute mark. And then, you know, or at least just like scrub through the episode, make sure I'm, you know, saying exactly what I meant and, you know, placing ads and all that stuff. And I'm like, I'm so tired of this girl. Like, it gets to a point where I shut the computer and I almost like disassociate myself from like the girl talking on the mic versus like me. I'm like, okay, I've had enough of her for today. We're putting her away. Cause I feel like I do speak like this, you know, as a normal person, but it's just a different vibe. And it's so weird to like, I don't know. I feel like it's almost like an out of body experience to some degree.
It is. It's like imposter syndrome too, especially when you see your podcast trending or you see like new followers coming in. It's like, or even the DMs you get, it's like, what gives me the right to have this platform? And like, why do people want to know what I have to say?
Yeah, I totally feel the same way. I've been getting such good feedback on my recent season of the podcast. And I think it's just because I've been like more vulnerable now than I ever have in my whole life. And seeing these DMs of people saying like, I've just helped them so much, or they're going through a death in the family, or they're going through a breakup, or, you know, they had a similar story to me about hookup culture. And it's just really, really crazy to see how positive people have reacted. But I'm also like, wait a second, is this really me? And of course it is. It is. Mm-hmm. It's me. But I'm like, do I have like who put me in this position? You know,
yeah, it's no, so I weird. Agree. I feel the same way. And I think that it is very comforting when I get DMs from people who are going through a similar situation to me. And that's why also I try to be as vulnerable as I can on my show, because I'm like, it helps those women out there, you know, whoever it is that's going through that situation, to hear that someone else is going through it. And even if I don't give the most intelligent, informative advice, it's like just to know that you have someone who's giving you advice about a situation, it really is comforting. And I think it helps you to see things from a different point of view as well.
I agree. Do you feel like your interviewing skills and your conversation techniques have trickled into your own life too? Like, do you feel like your friendships have become better and stronger because you share so much?
Yes. It's so funny you say that, because my friends call me 21 questions now. Like, really? Especially if I'm like getting to know someone, I would just be like sitting with them like on a date on the car, and I'm like, so are you close with your parents? So this, so that. And they're like, you ask a lot of questions. And I'm like, I just like, now I love getting to know people.
No, literally, someone called me out the other day. They were like, you're asking like fourth date questions, and I just met you 20 minutes ago and we're not even on a date. And I'm like, well, I'm just curious. And they're like, well, you know, and then they're asked about me, and then they found out that I have a podcast, and so it all made sense to them. But it's so true. I'm like, I feel like I can really get deep really quickly. And when I can't, almost break the ice immediately with a person, I'm like, what's wrong with you? Like, why aren't you sharing your darkest secrets with me right now?
Yes, like my friends would be like, that person's really quiet. And I'm like, hold on. And I'll go over to them, and if like I can't break them out of their shell, then they're really just not it.
Literally, yeah.
That's so funny. Because like I have noticed that about myself recently. And we were talking about this a little bit off air, like being single in your 20s and stuff. You know, you have to go on dates and get to know people. And that was something that the thought of it would make me so anxious. And I'm like, wait, I'm really good at talking to people. Why? Like, where did this come from? But I guess it does come from the show, which is so interesting.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I do now transitioning into the navigating your 20s and the dating life and just friendships, just relationships in your 20s in general, whether it's friendships or, you know, getting to know guys or whatever it is. I feel like this is something girls love talking about because we all go through it. So have you dealt with any kind of bad friendship breakups or even just distanced friendship breakups?
So I haven't had like a true like dramatic falling out with a friend in a long time, which I think is good. But I definitely have dealt with people who we kind of just phase out. And I think of it as like, just kind of like going separate paths. Like, you know, eventually you get to a point with someone where you're like, you know what, they're kind of going after things that I'm not really interested in, and they probably feel the same way about me. So it's probably best that we kind of just distance ourselves. And I feel like that kind of comes naturally too. Like if you just kind of know that your time is up with a certain friend, or even with maybe a guy that you're talking to, you can feel it. You can feel the distance start to come. Maybe they're texting you less. Maybe you're texting them less. Maybe you guys hang out less. It doesn't mean that you dislike them or don't have respect for them or anything like that, but you're just kind of going down separate paths. And I think that that's okay. But I did have it wasn't like a dramatic falling out. But I did have a situation recently with a friend where I had to be the one that was like, hey, there are some things that you do that I don't necessarily agree with. And it was just kind of like, you know, word travels fast kind of thing. And I heard some, you know, behind the back chatter that I really wasn't being vulnerable, and having a podcast is a blessing and a curse, because we're kind of coming on the mic and sharing our deepest or darkest secrets. So I have no problem coming to someone, even if they're a relatively new friend, and sharing how I feel. But that can sometimes come back and bite you in the ass. And I think that I definitely learned a lesson of like who to trust and who not to trust. And unfortunately I had to, you know, truly stick up for myself and let this friend go, which was sad because I appreciated the friendship. But I just knew in my gut that there couldn't be a friendship after the chatter and the gossip that went on behind my back. So it's hard in your 20s. I think it's hard, you know, any age. You watch like these reality TV shows of these like housewives and it's all just gossip. And, you know, I even hear stories from my parents, and people are going to talk about people no matter what, and no one's perfect. But I think you really just have to discern, like, is this friendship worth putting in the effort to continue, or is what this person did something that I can't really be associated with anymore?
Yeah, I agree. And I'm a very confrontational person too. It's like, when I feel something, you're going to know I feel something, and it's not going to be like in a nasty, rude way, but it's like, I'm not afraid of saying like, hey, this made me feel this type of way. And I think the way the person responds says a lot too. It's like, if that 100%. Person denies it and like, they don't value you, they don't care, like you can tell. However, if a person is kind of like, you're right, I said that, I'm sorry, this, that, and they want to work on building that friendship, then at least you know, like, okay, this is someone that I do want in my life because they want to fight for a spot. But it is definitely very emotionally draining to have to get like your heart broken by a friend and have to like try to even repair that with a friend. And so I do think a lot of the time we're kind of just like, all right, you're out of my life, because I don't even want to like drain my emotional, like my emotions to try to fix this.
Yeah, absolutely. And a friend told me one time when I was just talking about friend problems to this other friend, and he was like, a good thing that you can do if someone wrongs you or if you just need some space is just reduce your investment. Yeah. And sometimes just putting that distance between you and someone gives you both time and space to maybe recover. And I think too, if you're supposed to be in someone's life, you'll naturally gravitate back together. But by reducing your investment, you're not really putting that much more emotion into it, especially if you're already feeling drained. And so I think that it's almost this, you know, trying to find a healthy balance between like what relationships and what friendships are the ones that you want to pour into, which ones do you maybe need to take a step back from. And like I said, it's hard to discern really, like, you know, who's going to be a for lifer and who's just here for a season. But I think that you kind of know in your gut, you know?
Yeah. And I like how you said, like, just invest less time and energy in them. Like, if you don't want to have to do the whole, let me tell them how I feel and cut this off, it's like, okay, just distance yourself a little bit. Because at the end of the day, I think we think it's really bad to put ourselves first and to be a little selfish, but it's the best thing that you can do. And it's so necessary, especially when there's someone that is very obviously draining your energy. There is nothing wrong with just taking a step back from that person. Don't text them as much. Don't tell them news as fast as you do. Don't like beg to hang out with them or like think of them with plans right away. It's like, I've have like dear friends where it's like, I'll continuously feel like I'm the one putting in that extra effort. Like, do you want to hang out? Do you want to do this? Do you want to do that? And then you realize it and you're like, why am I putting in all this extra effort? Nothing happened between me and this person, but the fact that they're not giving me the same energy that I'm giving them, it's like, it's a turnoff. It's like, okay, you kind of get like, ugh, like I'm going to back away and see if they do anything.
Yeah. And such a good test is like, if I don't reach out, are we going to hang out?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't love doing that, but it's kind of a good defining moment of like, hey, if I'm not the one making plans, if I'm not the one texting, are they going to reach out? And oftentimes like they will end up reaching out, especially when they stop hearing from you, because they're like, hey, it's been a while. Like, hey, stranger. And you're like, okay,
yeah,
you could have reached out before, but you know, I don't know. It's, I don't want to say like play a game, because that's not at all the advice that I want to give, but you know, you just have to really, you know, put in, almost like match people's energy. If you're kind of unsure, match their energy and kind of see what happens.
Yeah. And I've been in that situation where I realize I'm asking the same person to hang out every single weekend, and they're always like, maybe. And like, sometimes they'll say yes. Most of the time they'll say no. And then I'll wait one week and I'll be like, I'm not going to ask them this weekend. Let's see if they ask me. And then they won't ask me, and I'll find out they didn't even do anything that weekend. And I'm like, but like, why didn't you think to ask me? And then it just kind of stings you and you're like, ugh, forget it. Like, I'm not even going to waste my time.
And it's like, only when it's convenient for them are you a friend. So I always, I don't know, you got to be careful, which is sad to say, because I love my friends so dearly. These are more like secondary friends that I'm talking about. Yeah. My girls are my girls. My guys are my guys. Like, you know, I got my core group, but you know, I think you just kind of know like who's there for a while and who's going to be there through thick and thin and who's not.
I agree. Yeah. So I want to go a little bit into the very untraditional dating world we have at the moment. I feel like I'm single. I'm a single girl in my 20s. You're a single girl in her 20s. We're experiencing a lot of different things. And like, I'm always like the type to be like, I'm done focusing on me. And then they all come. And I'm like, what is going on? Like, it's always the time where you don't want your peace disturbed, mm-hmm. that your peace gets disturbed. But I kind of want to get your input and your opinion on what you think this dating world is like nowadays.
So the dating world these days, I told you to remind me to tell you a funny story on the mic. So I guess I'll tell it now. This was probably like, I'll give you guys a little bit of context. I took a long, long break from dating for the past year. So I haven't been on the apps for probably the past year. I haven't gone on a date within the past year because I really was just so turned off by the dating world and how kind of like the bar is on the floor. The expectations are so low. And so I was on Hinge one time and I was just kind of on it because I was like, let's just see where this goes. So I'm swiping through my matches and just to kind of set the scene for you guys, I actually was displaying my matches on a TV screen for a group of me and my friends to go through the matches.
Yeah, we've all done that.
And, and so I was displaying my matches cause we were like watching like, you know, videos from the night before or whatever. Like, you know, we all went out, we were watching videos on the screen and then someone saw Hinge and I had a bunch of notifications and they're like, yo, Lily, like put your matches up. Like, let's see what you got. I'm like, all right, let's do this. Swiping through. Like all of them were like, no good. My guy friends are in the room and they're like, this is what the dating pool's like. This is awful. We get to a guy, his name on Hinge is Gelato. Okay. His name's Gelato. And we're like, kind of weird. We scroll down. His prompts are weird. Can't even remember what he says because what really took the cake on his profile was a picture of him standing in front of the bathroom mirror. He's got a shirt on, no pants, and his you-know-what is literally laying on the counter. Yeah. Laying on the counter. Like Winnie the Pooh, like Winnie the Pooh style. I don't know. I reported his account real quick. Like he looked like Winnie the Pooh. And his thing was on the counter.
Is that allowed?
I don't know. But he worked at Walmart. Like, I don't know. If someone else has seen this, like, let me know. Because that would be really funny. Oh, but yeah, I mean, it's so disgusting. So disturbing. And like, you know, there were some girls in the room, guys in the room. I mean, everybody's laughing so hard. Like, we're absolutely losing our minds. But so disturbed. Like, this is the dating pool. This is what's on Hinge. This is in my area. This is within my 15-mile radius. Like, this is nasty. This is what's in my area.
That is scary.
So that's just kind of like, I mean, the worst of the worst, like, depictions of what, you know, the online dating pool is like. Wow. But, you know, I've been on a couple Hinge dates here and there. And nothing ever really stuck. And I think it's just because meeting someone online, I think, is really tricky because you don't really necessarily have common ground right away. Mm-hmm. So I always really struggled with that. But as far as, like, the dates that I did go on, I don't know. I think maybe I just have really high expectations, but I don't want to lower them. Like, in no sense do I feel like I need to lower my expectations. Because I know that when the right person comes along, it'll be at the perfect time and I won't have a question. So what I did was I made a list of things that I will tolerate and things that I will not tolerate. Mm-hmm. And then obviously, like, wants and needs, requirements, call it what you want, but I made a list and it's adaptable, obviously. I'm not going to check all the boxes. But I think it's really important to make sure that you keep your standards high, especially in this dating pool. That's kind of that was a bit of a tangent and a bit of a rant more than anything. But yeah.
Yeah. I think that, you should never lower your standards. I think there's a big difference between lowering your standards and not being, like, picky. And it's like, I have the list too of, like, he's not the one unless, and I have, like, a list of things that I want him to do. And honestly, like, I'm a little shocked, but the past few dates I've been on, like, I can't lie, they've, like, only been with, like, gentlemen that, like, open the car door and, like, pick up the bill and, you know, like, very, like, gentlemen, like, very nice guys. So I can't really complain in that sense. I've never gone on, like, a dating app, like, date. I went on a dating app for, like, a sponsored thing. And I was like, honestly, this is not for me. I was like, I really can't do this. And I feel like I also just wasn't in a rush to even be in a relationship. So I was like, why am I going to go on a date where it's going to, like, speed up the process or whatever? And I kind of just, like, meet people through, like, I honestly don't know, like, bars, other friends, Instagram, whatever it might be. And I feel like nowadays, I think the biggest issue, at least from what I see, is that men want to be chased more, or that men are just ready for a relationship a lot later than usual. Like, I feel like now it's like 25. People, guys were ready. My dad was married at like 23. It's like people were ready at 25 to get married. And now guys are like, no, I'm not even going to look until I'm 30. Like, I feel like that's what's really made a like big change. And it's like very untraditional. It's very like, because of this social media world and everything, they're seeing what else is out there. And it's like, there's all these great options and I can travel with my boys and do this with my boys. So now they're like, I don't want to stop living that life until I'm like 30. So I feel like that's like a really big issue now. And it takes away that like traditional masculine man and like the feminine woman of like the traditional values of how things should be. And it's sad. It's like actually really sad, which is why I always say I want a man of God, because a man of God will carry those traditional values without me having to tell him. So what's kind of your, do you feel like you can, I know that you're also religious. What type of religion are you?
I'm a Christian.
Christian. Yeah, just non-denominational. Yeah. Do you feel like you have to also date somebody who believes in God as well?
Oh, 1,000%. Absolutely. Yeah. You really hit the nail on the head, because I see this so much in the dating pool, and even just like in conversations with guys in general, whether, you know, we're potentially dating or not. A lot of it's like, yeah, I just want to focus on my career. I want to keep my options open. You know, I need to, it's almost as if, and I think like women are sometimes guilty of this too. It's like having a mental checklist of, you know, I need to accomplish X, Y, and Z before I can be in a committed relationship, which is like, you don't, because there's never going to be a perfect time. And you're like, if you wait around to do anything, like there's never a perfect time to start. And so I almost feel like you have to like show up as you are and then see if you're compatible with someone. But yeah, I'm so absolutely, I need a man of God. I need a masculine man. That's the very first thing on my like non-negotiable list is loves the Lord, because it is so important that we are on the same page with those values, because that trickles into every aspect of life. And, you know, whether it's like wanting kids or like how you want to raise a family or, you know, how you want to spend your money, spend your time. Also too, like, I think about how, like, sometimes if you go through like a guy's following, like who he follows on Instagram, like, is he following, you know, quote accounts or dog accounts, or is he following like really hot girls who aren't wearing a lot of clothes? Like, it's really just, you know, even down to those little things, which, I mean, I guess the accounts you follow aren't really like little, but, you know, just even like those little like micro details are so important. Or even just like opening the door. This is something that anyone can do. You don't have to be religious or not, just like open the door. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, it is just important to find a guy who is gonna just check the boxes that you deem important, and to not lower your standards just for anyone.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I also think like the grass is green where you water it. So I feel like when it comes to lowering your standards, if there's someone that has the non-negotiables, they're religious, they're this, but there's like these little things that you're like, I don't want my future partner to have those qualities. I think there's also kind of a line that you can draw of, this is something that can be very easily adapted into, like, let's say like he's great, but he didn't open the doors for you. And you're just like, that's something he should be doing. But that's like also something where maybe after 2 days you could just be like, hey, can you start opening the door for me? Like, you know, like jokingly. But if it's something like he raises his voice when he gets mad, that's something that's only going to progress. So I think just don't be like too picky. I know me, I'm not picky at all. Like, I have like a few non-negotiables, but even like the non-negotiables, I'm like, well, I'll still go on the date, because like, why not? Like, I'm very just like, I just go with whatever, go with the flow. And I'm like, whatever, at the end of the day, it's a free dinner and a nice conversation to get to know someone. Like, you know, it's how you have to view it sometimes. So yeah, I think that it's difficult nowadays to want a masculine traditional man, because it's just not as common. But then when you find one, it's like, and then it doesn't work out with them and you're like, what was the point of that lesson?
But I also think too, like, so I'm super, super picky. And that's why I haven't been on a date in like a year, because I've been so picky. Like, once I got off the dating apps, I was like, I'm done with this. I'm just going to focus on myself, focus on my relationship with the Lord, and focus on podcasts and just see what happens. And I truly believe that when you find a guy who is all about you, like, he will not make you question it. And the minute that you guys are like chatting it up, whether it's, you know, at a bar or I don't know, wherever you guys through a friend of a friend, like, he'll make it known that like he wants to take you on a date. He wants to pursue you and you'll never have to question. It's probably a couple months ago, I like kind of had this crush on a guy and I was like, well, you know, we talk a lot, but like, I'm not really sure. And this, that, and the other thing. And everything was like up in the air. And I was like, okay, well, obviously this isn't going to go anywhere because he's not being clear with me. And then if I go and ask, like, what are we, then I'm the bad guy. So it's this weird game of like, what are we? Is he going to lead with clarity? Is he not? But I firmly believe that the right guy will completely come in and be like, hey, I really like you. This is why. And I want to continue to pursue you. And he'll let you know. Firmly yeah. believe that. He'll let you know.
I love that. And like I always say, if it's a I don't know, then it's just a no. Like if I have mm-hmm. to read a guy, like I'm 23. I'm not sitting here playing like the hard to get game. It's like right. on the first date, I don't lay it all out in like a scary way. I'm like, so how many kids do you want? But it's like a way of like where I present myself in a way of I'm a girl that you're going to take seriously. And if you're not yeah. in that mindset, that's totally okay. Like I make that very known on a first date or the second date or like even texting after the first date or something. I make it very known like this is the type of girl I am. And if you're not looking for that type of girl right now at this point in your life, that is so okay. But just like let's not waste each other's time. And I've had guys that are like, oh my God, I love that. Let's continue growing. Or I've had guys that are like, they become distant and it's like totally okay. Like it's like I've honestly would prefer that. I think the sweetest thing a guy can do is tell you that he's not ready instead of just yeah. keeping you as like a side piece. And I've been in situations where guys have been like, I really like you. I'm just not ready financially, career wise, this, that. And like, I don't want to lead you on. And like, it sucks, but it's also like, you should be very grateful because a lot of the time that guy can keep you around and you probably will stick around.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And I think too, like, it's totally fair to, you know, not be ready for a relationship, mm-hmm. whatever the reason is, whether financially, career, maybe you just truly don't feel ready, whatever it is, like, it's super fair. But I think you have to communicate that. And the people who don't communicate that, that's where you're going to get into trouble. But I also think too, like on the reverse side, like the minute that someone does communicate that they do want to be with you, that they do want to pursue you, like that is the, you know, whether, you know, just clarity in some sense is a good sign of good character. And I think the best thing that we can do is just be clear with our expectations, which is something that I also do, you know, flat out. I'm just like, okay, this is what I want. This is who I am. Like what you see is what you get. I'm not going to hold anything back. If I'm mad at you, you'll know it. If I like you, you'll know it. And just not really hide anything and just be myself. Cause the right person isn't going to be intimidated by that.
Exactly what you said. Like when I say what I say, it's like, if the guy runs, I'm like, okay, you're out of the way. And then it's like yeah. the guy that stays long and is like, I love this. Great. Right.
Exactly.
Yeah, so I want to talk more about faith because I know you and I talked about this a little bit just like by texting and stuff and you've been posting about it a lot more. Did you grow up religious or is it something that you've kind of adapted into?
So I grew up going to church, but it wasn't really, I didn't really feel like I truly had a relationship with the Lord. And I sang and played guitar in youth group, like that kind of thing. I went on some mission trips, but I was in middle school. And so I always knew that like going to church and being a Christian was important, but I didn't really know why. And I think that finding the why in anything that you do is the most important thing. And that's kind of going to be your anchor and your foundation. And like this time last year, I was really, really in such a dark place. I was super depressed. I had a really bad binge eating problem. I had a really just horrible relationship with myself and even like physically, I just felt just like so disgusting. Like I was just so far from like the person that I know that I could be. And I ended up making some major changes in my life. And one of those things was just deciding to go back to church and picking up my Bible in the morning. I used to read like a little like meditation book in the morning. I would journal. which is fine. But I just replaced that meditation book with a daily devotional. And it really just absolutely transformed my life. Started to surround myself with some girls who also go to church. We started a little Bible study. And just surrounding myself with women who also love the Lord has been the best thing. So no, I didn't grow up in church. Or I did grow up in church, but I didn't really like, I don't know, I feel like I didn't to some degree. Because I feel like I didn't care as a kid. You know, it's just like something that like my parents were like, you're going to do this. I'm like, okay, you know.
Yeah, no, I agree. I grew up like in the choir too. Like I was always in Sunday school and all that stuff. And then, yeah, you take that little break when you're like in your teenage years or like even like entering your 20s. And then something just hits you sometimes. Like something just hit me a few months ago. And I was like, I'm going to be a Sunday school teacher. I was like, it'll hold me accountable to go to church every Sunday. Yeah, like I was like, it'll make me go every Sunday. And then I was like, I feel like nowadays – I don't want to say it's very difficult to be a good Christian, but I do think that it's the devil's world. Like I always say, it's the devil's world. There's so much temptation. How do you kind of find that balance between living your life and doing things that don't necessarily, quote, play by the book, but also keeping that relationship with God separate from that?
So I really have just had to just like ask the Holy Spirit, like, hey, can you come in and just transform my life? Like change my heart, give me new memories. And whether that is turning off a song that just doesn't sound quite right or not watching certain things, you know, certain movies, you know, unfollowing accounts online that, you know, maybe don't preach the Bible or just kind of don't align with who I know God has called me to be. Really just like trying to separate myself from the ways of the world. Cause there's a lot of temptation out there, a lot. And it's very, very hard to not give in to what the world is asking of us. I'm doing a series right now on my podcast called, That Girl to This Woman. And that girl is kind of the depiction of like the perfect aesthetically pleasing, you know, doing self-improvement things for vanity. Whereas this woman is truly stepping into who God is calling you to be. And that is kind of where I feel like my life has been the past couple months. So I'm just sharing more of that on my podcast. So that's kind of like, if you guys want to hear more of like this kind of stuff, definitely go listen to that whole series. I'm excited to like have you come and talk on my show a little bit more about that. But yeah, I mean, really just like trying to disassociate from the ways of the world, which is like one of the hardest asks ever. That's kind of like the point of life, right? Like disassociate, like, you know, pick up your cross, follow me. And so, yeah, it's hard. It's real hard.
It is hard because I started to incorporate the Christian lifestyle of picking up my Bible, going to Sunday school, praying more. I incorporated it and I put it into my mindset. But then I was, you know, and I went to a party last weekend or I'll go to a bar with friends. And it's like, you can be in those scenes and you cannot indulge in ungodly behaviors, but then it's also like, should I feel guilty for even being in this scene? Like it's a lot of overthinking. And I think I've just realized everyone's relationship with God is their own, and you can never kind of like look at someone and judge their relationship with God versus their lifestyle. It's like, that's for them. Like at the end of the day, all I can do is keep God in my heart, and it's like form my own relationship with him without that like guilt, because God doesn't want you to feel guilt. It's like, it shouldn't be a burden to be religious, you know what I mean? So that's kind of how I've like tried to incorporate it. And I do think in this world nowadays, it's very hard. And it's also a very sensitive generation where when I have certain opinions on things, they can't really be shared vocally without controversial opinion.
Well, I think too, it's hard not to share. Like once Jesus has done so much good in your life, it's so hard not to share. Like you just want to share. And we're called to share. We're absolutely called to share, whatever the capacity might be.
I agree. I want to talk about this new project you're working on right now. You said you are an up-and-coming author. You Yes. have a chapter coming out in a book. So tell us all about this book, all about the chapter, how it kind of started, and what inspired this chapter.
Yeah, so the book is called Deserts to Mountaintops, Choosing Our Healing Through Radical Self-Acceptance. And the book is by Jessica Buchanan. She is an author, speaker, but most known for her story of being kidnapped by Somalian pirates. She was a humanitarian aid worker. Yeah, crazy story. Like, insane. Yeah, I know. It went from like one little, like, oh, I'm an author to like this. But she was kidnapped in Somalia by Somalian pirates. She was working as a humanitarian aid worker, and they placed a $45 million ransom on her head. And she was in the desert without, you know, food, water. I think she got like a can of tuna every day and like a little bit of water. Wow. Crazy story. I did a podcast episode with her. It's somewhere on my pages back in June, I believe, or July of 2023. She was rescued by SEAL Team 6 about 93 days later. And now spends a lot of her time just helping other women heal from just the experience of life. And she started a company called Soul Speak Press, where they publish memoir manifestos to help other, to help and inspire other women to just become better versions of themselves. So this anthology, Deserts to Mountaintops, chronicles 19 women's stories of radically choosing themselves and radically accepting themselves. And I'm really happy to be a part of it. So my chapter is called I Am Your Friend Too. And it kind of walks the reader through, my experience of having a binge eating problem, how hookup culture completely just drained me, how hustle culture drained me, and how my friends really helped to build me back up and helped me to become my own best friend as well. So in a nutshell, that's my chapter. The book is available now. You can get it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble.
Link in the description as well.
Perfect. Anywhere you buy books, you can grab a copy. And yeah, it's really cool. So I'm excited to be a part of it.
That's cool. And I love the topics you're talking about. And I feel like, you know, we talked a little bit about the burnout of friendships and the burnout of relationships. When it comes to the burnout of your career, it's so difficult because we work for ourselves. And so when you get burnt out, it's like, you can't just like, you don't have a choice. Like you have to show up every single day or you are not getting your salary or your money. Yep. So what do you do when you feel that hustle burnout?
So my chapter kind of follows, I worked a 9-to-5, a traditional job for about a year, year and some change. And so my chapter kind of follows that. Now that I work for myself, though, I have a completely different set of habits. And I think I learned a lot from that 9-to-5 in the sense of, you know, what works for me and what doesn't. And a big part of that was just the importance of rest and the importance of not outputting too much creativity. It was in a marketing role, a very creative role. And I unfortunately just completely fried myself creatively. And so now I just know like, okay, I'm going to record my episode every week. I can record maybe one or two others on guest podcasts. But other than that, creatively output, like I need to input almost double the amount that I output. And so really just spend a lot of time plugging into myself, whether that's a workout, whether that's taking extra time in the morning to do my devotion or, you know, get ready. Spending time with people that I love has been huge for me. I used to think that I was such an introvert. Turns out I'm not. Mm-hmm. And that I recharge really well when I'm around people. And I kind of let myself be lonely for about a year because I thought that that's what, you know, corporate girlies did. And they just grinded really hard and hustled. And yeah, I was locked in and, you know, not taking my eye off the prize. And I didn't even know what the prize was. And so it just really taught me a lot about what I deem important. And I think I see a big shift in our generation. I think that we're kind of interested more in living more than working, which I think is really cool. Whereas past generations are really just, you know, no days off, like, you know, let's just grind and never take a day. And I don't operate like that, unfortunately. So
I think it's fortunate. Like they always say, America lives to work. Whereas like if you go to Europe, they work to live. It's like their lunch breaks are like an hour and a half long and they're like sitting on the water with lunch. It's like they just work enough so that they can live the life they want. Where for us, and I'm guilty of it because I have a podcast. I want this podcast to be successful. So I put in the work to have a successful business. So I'm guilty of it. But like you said, I'm kind of getting into that mindset of like, I just want to live. Like, I just want to enjoy life. I want to hang out with the people I love and like make memories, and I can work, but I don't want that work to strip away from that.
Yeah. And I mean, at the end of your life, I always think about the fact it's like, no one's going to be at your bedside and say, oh, good thing they worked 60 hours every week.
Yeah.
You know, good thing. They're going to think about, oh, it was so cool to make this memory and that memory. And it's really the time spent off the clock. Obviously, you have to work. You have to make a living. You have to, you know, have something driving you. But, you know, it's not everything. And it's really, life's about the people and, you know, making your world and your community a better place. And I think unless you're doing that in some capacity, it's going to feel really unfulfilling.
I agree. I love all the topics we talked about today. I'm like, I gotta edit a lot because I felt like I was actually on the phone with a friend and I'm like, I got a little too open in there.
I know, but same.
Those are like the best episodes at the same time.
Yeah.
I love to end every guest episode with your favorite quote. So a quote that you live by and just one of those quotes that you remind yourself of on a bad day.
Okay. Can I give you two? Can I give you a Bible verse and a quote?
Yes, because I love quotes.
Okay, so a quote is probably from a friend. He wrote it on a sticky note when I was really down in the dumps, and I have like a wall of sticky notes on my mirror, and it was just "Make a great day." And I was like, "Yo, like, what's that about?" And he's like, "Yeah, you know, I saw it on someone's hat, and I just really liked it. And I think that you get to decide whether you're gonna make today great or not, and it's a decision. So make a great day, and if you don't, then that's your choice that it wasn't a great day." And then my second quote is a Bible verse, Psalm 46:10: "Be still and know I'm God." That's kind of one of my foundational verses because I'm a very anxious person and I like to overthink a lot. So when I am doing so, I just, you know, think about being still, and he's got me covered. So yeah.
I love the beast. I've been in a very like let go and let God mindset of just,
yeah,
do what you can and God will come in and put in the rest of the work, which I love.
Yeah.
I want to thank you so much for coming on. Quickly before you go, also guys, before she even plugs herself, I'm actually going to be on Lily's show recording right after this. So there's more conversation if you guys want to listen to that. So Lily, where can they find you? Instagram, TikTok, podcast, everything.
Yeah, well, thank you, Olivia, so much for having me. Super pumped to have you on my episode. I'm sure it's literally just going to be like almost the same conversation.
An extension,
just,
yeah.
Yeah, just an extension and flipped, and just keep the good times going. But you guys can listen to my podcast, 80/20, on Spotify, Apple, all the other platforms. I don't even know. I feel like there's a new one every week. But wherever you listen to I can't keep up.
They like releases us everywhere. I'm like, is this allowed?
Yeah, literally. I'm like, what? But yeah, wherever you get your podcasts, you can find 80/20. It's 8020. You can also follow 80/20 on Instagram, 8020POD. I also have a TikTok. That's the same username, 8020POD, 8020POD. I have to say it now because someone like kind of ripped off my podcast name.
Oh, no way.
Spelled out. Yeah. I'm pretty mad about it. We'll talk about that off the mic. Yeah. So anyway, don't love that. But yeah, it's 80/20 with the numbers. And then you can follow me, Lily Rako, LilyRakow on Instagram. And that's kind of it. My podcast is also available to watch on YouTube sometimes if there's a video.
Yeah.
So YouTube's there. I think that's all I have. So yeah, that's where you can find me.
Perfect.